This is the Stock Mo Money Show. I think it's like episode 27, 28, 29. I don't even know. It's like it's getting up there. But I am your host, Stock Mo, with my beautiful co-host.
Hi, I'm Mrs. Mo. Hello, everybody.
Yeah, that she is. She is Mrs. Mo, and I'm very grateful for that. Hopefully, you're all having a great day today. As per standard shameless plugs, please make sure you take a time to sponsor the show if you're listening to this on a podcast. This is originally formatted for a podcast, so if you're listening out there, there is a way to get in touch with us and help us, and that is the anchor.fm/stock-mo, and then you have an opportunity to go ahead and look at all our episodes, as well as give us up to, 99 cents up. And if you sponsor us, it helps keep the commercials off of the podcast. Now, for you watching us on YouTube, you have no choice. They have no choice at all. Yeah. They have to watch a commercial. I'm not going to tell you when.
Well, that's the sacrifice they give for being able to see us.
Yes, you can see this this smiling face. That is what you have to go through to be on YouTube. They could see us, mm-hmm. You know?
Yep.
So from here, we do have a link down below for those watching on YouTube and over at Anchor to the, Webull. We get 2 free stocks, put $100 in there, up to $1,850 in free stocks. And they have Dogecoin, Ethereum, Bitcoin. You never know what you're going to get. We get one free share because we're an affiliate. It's a way you can help us, as well as our Patreon. And the lovely Mrs. Mo over there, she handles a lot of the private Discord with thousands of members in there. And I share my portfolios over there when I'm buying and selling and a lot of good things. And the newest crypto portfolio. Even you heard that little meow. That is definitely Crypto Cat, aka Tesla Cat, who also loves that. And let's hear what he thinks about it. Crypto Cat, do you like crypto? No, he does. He does like the crypto, which is important because you want him to like that. So, Mrs. Mo, why don't we go over some of the sponsors of the show, and okay. We'll see what's up.
All right, sounds good. So last time we missed somebody, and I feel so bad.
We did?
Yes.
Yeah,
so I had a conversation with her, and so I'm just going to give her a little extra shout out.
Yes.
Even Tesla Cats here came up maybe to make it special. So we want to shout out, thank you so much, Kalindi, for being a supporter. There's a little action from Tesla Cat for the people that are listening on the podcast. Mo was just doing his little boxing moves there. So I want to give a shout out to Kalindi's kids, Naomi and Krish, because she says that she makes them listen to us.
Yes. Now you got to, if you're watching on YouTube, you got to see the Tesla Cat. If you're listening on the podcast, you heard the and that is him punching the air. So thank you for the sponsorship. I appreciate it. And I, we missed her.
Yeah,
but you know what? We're making up for it by giving you triple duty here and lots of love out there. So
yes.
We greatly appreciate it.
So thank you so much. And then I'm going to read the rest of the list. We had one member who contacted us about actually having a last name that's very similar to another member on the list. So I moved my list
around
a little bit. Remember, there's no particular
order.
I did, yes.
Yeah.
So that person that's listening out there right now, that was not you.
Just
somebody out there random.
Happened to be two first names that made up their first and last name.
First and last
that we just happened to say in that perfect order, which is awesome.
Yeah, so we won't say
which
one. But anyway, so let me read out our other supporters. We greatly appreciate you in no particular order. Andrew, Chrissy, Joshua, Charles, Trudy, Dan, David and Ashley, Dennis, Kyle, Michael, Tim, Anita, Juanita, Andre, Giovanni, Ronnie, Nathan, Gerardo or Jerry, Robert, Daniel, Sergey, Hans, Joseph, Ladies, Kyle, James, Cedric, Brad, D, and I missed Toffee. Toffee's not on here either.
But that is somebody. So
yeah,
how many people are we getting up to, roughly? Are we over 30?
30. Yeah, I think it's 30. Yep.
Wow. So I greatly appreciate it. A little different with the podcast than it is YouTube. YouTube, we get a good amount of sponsors, and we love it, and we appreciate it. And it's probably easier for them, but here it's a little bit tougher to get in there, and that's something we are working on, so we'll see how that works out.
Exactly.
So, what's going on, Mrs.
Mo? Today we kind of have a special. Remember how the other day, last week sometime, we had a special on
crypto.
So this one's actually, most of the questions, well, all of the questions really in some way deal with inflation.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. We had some big numbers coming out, and I don't want to say I was shocked at all. I've actually been talking about it on my channel. I watch a lot of channels out there, just like everyone watching this right now. I watch other YouTubers, and I have to tell you, I absolutely thought that the inflation was going to be worse than the Fed was telling us. And I know a lot of people out there actually believe that it wasn't going to be. They went with the Fed and said, it's going to be what the Fed said and not worse. Mm-hmm. But you and I have talked, and I said, it's going to be worse than the Fed thinks.
Yep.
It is being played down. It's going to be something that's going to rear its head up, and we're going to have to deal with it. And that's why we were buying bank stocks.
Yeah.
That happened today.
Exactly.
Well, I should say it happened yesterday.
Right.
In yesterday's news. Yep.
Yes. And they actually want to keep it around 2%.
Long term, yeah.
Yeah, and what is it? What did they say?
It was 4.2% year over year from last April. The worst we have seen in inflation since one of the worst times I've ever seen in the stock market, 2008 summer. And that was into the crash that dropped the NASDAQ down over 40%. We're going to talk more about that. But now you got our theme, though. You know the theme.
Yes.
We're going to get into all this, how to prepare, answer some questions, and then I'm going to have a roasted chicken for dinner for those watching.
Yum.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so we have our first questions actually from one of our Discord, our Patreon members, of course, but she was in Discord today and had asked a question, and I said, hey, this would be something that I would love to add to our next podcast if I can have your permission. So she said yes. So this is for MJ, and her question is, so we all know inflation is high now. What's next? I mean, we can't just keep falling to zero, right? Anyone who has experienced this kind of inflation in the past before, can Mo please elaborate more on how inflation works and more details? Some of us noobs don't really understand why it affects the market that much. Thanks.
Wow. You know what? I've been trying to think about this in greater terms now that it's upon us. And I've been reading a lot of numbers out there, doing the math equations, and also looking at some other experts in the fields who, where they see this going. Now, I do agree that the worst is going to be coming up. And what you're seeing is a lot of materials right now are being hoarded. Everything's being hoarded because prices are going higher. They're afraid it's going to continue to go higher. So everybody and a lot of construction, a lot of companies out there are just buying more than they need. Think about it with the toilet paper during, remember when we couldn't find toilet paper?
Yeah, I remember.
Did you need that much toilet paper? Or did you buy a couple of them because you knew it was running out? And the answer is most people bought as much as they could. You were hauling truckloads of toilet paper everywhere you could because you knew there might be a chance or might not be enough. And that is what's going on in general supplies around the country. And you're seeing a much higher inflation rate early. Now, where's this move forward? It's not like we're going to have inflation like this forever and ever. We are going to see it come back down. And you are going to see people not have to order as much. And eventually, you're going to get to the point that you might start to see prices moving down, which we will, because everybody has what they need and they ordered too much, and then all of a sudden you have an oversupply and then a deflationary pressure pushing on it. So in the beginning, we're gonna see very high inflation, which we're seeing, and you're gonna see some stocks do better than others. I always thought the financials, cat food, for Tesla cat, because you know, he always needs some. But other things like that, I think you're gonna see the financials do well, and there's some other stocks out there I think are gonna do well. And of course, as we move forward through this inflationary period, which I think will taper off fall into winter, and you will see possible, actually the opposite of inflation, you might see some downward pressure on prices big time because everybody bought too much.
Mm-hmm.
You ever get to the point that you bought too much toilet paper and you look in your closet and it was loaded up and you're like, huh, I guess I don't need that for a while. And that's something you can look into. So that's my answer on where I see it going. And think about the gas down south right now. We had that gas line that was impeded by, I'll say, a terrorist attack. And they got in there and messed up the pipeline supply. And then you had lines of people getting gas down south, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia. And what I read from some of the people who were there, they were getting gas even though they didn't need it. In other words, you know, it's hoarding because you need to get as much as you can because you're afraid you're not going to be able to get it. And that makes everybody start, the demand goes through the roof. And the supply is very limited, and that starts to push prices higher, which I expect. And I know they got the gas started back up in a limited capacity, but that's another example of that. And eventually everybody's gonna have so much gas, and once it's rolling full force, then the demand will drop.
Right.
And so then the prices should drop eventually as well.
So what about, how's that relate to stocks then?
What do you mean, how's it relate?
Like, do you mean prices of stocks?
No.
You mean prices of the goods?
No, I'm talking about the goods that are the underlying reason stocks move up and down. You know, some of these companies out there, such as the banks, they're going to do well because the Fed will need to raise rates to lower the inflation. And when they raise rates, banks are now able to make more money off of the loans. Basically, they go by a lot of the Fed rates influence their rates. And then as those rates go higher for the Fed, the banks will continue to start to make more money off of their loans, and thus their earnings are better. Now, for some other, the growth stocks out there, they're hurt because when the Fed has to raise rates, it makes it borrowing for them more expensive, lowering their profit margins. Most of those don't even have a profit to begin with. It just makes them more risky, and then money starts leaving that for lower risk stocks, such as banks and other infrastructure stocks, because that's gonna be growing. But anybody has to borrow money, it becomes more expensive, and that affects those kind of stocks, and that's why you're seeing these growth stocks get hammered. But I'm a big proponent of buying through with the key stocks out there that I think are going to do very well through this, we'll call it correction. I do not see a 30 to 40% drop, a 42% drop like we did in 2008 through 2009, like we did the last time we had this bad of inflation. Back then, we bought the Disney property.
I don't know if you remember that. Yeah.
But we bought a Disney property when the real estate dropped dramatically. We were able to take advantage of some real estate. We do not have the same real estate issues now like we did back then. Back then, people were getting loans. Mrs. Mo could walk in and buy $1 million perfect home and not have to have any income. There was a no income loans they had, no income verification loans. You could walk in and just say you made something, sign a paper, they'd give you the loans. I don't know if it was quite that easy because we never did that.
Right, right.
But that was a lot of the loans were like that. And they had them variable rate loans.
Yeah.
And the rates went through the roof, so people would get their new rate and they couldn't afford it and they'd just walk out. So there were so many problems back then that we don't have those problems now. And I am watching for rate increases, how it's going to affect the mortgage rates and all that. But for now, we're looking okay. Just a little bit of inflation. I think it's temporary. Will actually lead to, because it's running hotter than I thought, some deflationary pressure in the near future. And we'll see how that works out as well, because that's actually, deflation is not a good thing for the market as either. So we got to get it back to that nice 2% level that the Fed always shoots for.
That sounds great. Very nice. Very thorough answer.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes.
So, MJ, I hope that helped. And we're going to go on to Ben's question, which is number 2. And Ben says, I was wondering what your thoughts are on dollar cost averaging into the portfolio every month. I know that you put a large sum in and let it grow, but because I don't have the money to invest straight away, I wanted to know if putting money into the portfolio each month would be a good approach to tackle inflation. So I'm going to talk about this.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. I need a break.
All right. So just basically, so we actually talked about this in the Discord today, and we were discussing dollar cost averaging. And for those of you who may not know, dollar cost averaging is where you decide what position you want in a stock or a security of some kind, and then you are adding a portion of that end result wherever you want to reach. So let's say, Ben, you want to reach to $5,000 of a specific stock. You decide to dollar cost average into that stock. You put a certain amount of money in each week or each month, like you're suggesting right now, to get to that full position. And sometimes you may want to do more than one at once. So maybe you're choosing 3 stocks that you're doing at once and you're putting a small amount into each one. That would be dollar cost averaging. So what you're suggesting here, I think, is perfect, especially if you listen to Mo and look at the value stocks, the banks, and things like that. Right now, you asked about tackling inflation, and that's what he's been talking about in his videos. So definitely check out some of his videos if you haven't lately, because he's done, geez, how many did you say? 16 different stocks just in the past couple days.
It was a lot. And this morning, I did a great video on inflation stocks that would help you. So basically there were some banking stocks out there that I really like. So that was this morning's video. And I give you a five, and if you really want a lot of risk, I even gave you a triple leverage financial stock in there. If you believe that you're gonna continue to see the banking industry, financial industry moving higher. So there are some opportunities in there.
I'm still not done even.
I know, I bet. Yeah, go ahead.
It's hard for him to stay quiet, everybody.
I know. I like talking. That's why I'm good on camera.
I love him, though.
Yeah.
So if you are dollar cost averaging, let me just tell you about this. There's something called fractional shares. So it depends on what broker you're using. And now for people out there, Mo has a lot of different brokers. We've talked about this before. It's good to have different places to be able to buy your items and then be able to put them all into one portfolio. So find yourself somewhere where you can purchase fractional shares if you're looking for some of those more expensive bank stocks. For example, Berkshire Hathaway. I mean, I don't know. That one's huge, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but that's one of the most expensive stocks. It's just
I know. I'm just using that.
It's like $200 and something thousand.
It's crazy. I know. So obviously, you wouldn't be able to
buy the whole thing.
That like one single share all in one. But I'm just giving that as an example. Find a, you know, do the dollar cost averaging as fractional shares to try to get up to those full shares eventually. And as you work on that more and more and more, you will start to fill your positions. So don't be afraid of the higher cost stocks, I guess is what I'm trying to say, because there is the possibility, even if you're putting in a super small amount on a monthly basis, you could work toward those like one full share in a company.
That's what I'm doing with the Ethereum.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I have a good large position in it, but you know what? I don't want to put it all in at one time. I want a dollar cost average. I want to reduce my risk by doing that because I'll buy at highs, I'm going to buy at lows, I'll buy in the middles. Overall, it'll give me a nice average over the long term. If this is a long-term play, dollar cost averaging makes complete sense to me unless you got some kind of opportunity that this stock is so low, you don't think it's going to go any lower, then you can put a little extra in there. But for me, I think dollar cost averaging is good because no one can predict the market. All we can do is give our best estimates of where it's going to go and then act on those estimates, which you're doing.
Yep, and I also think that dollar cost averaging is great because you are setting aside a specific amount that you are dedicating to the market, and then you're living on the rest of your income. So that's super important. You don't want to throw it all in at once and then not be able to pay your bills, you know? So Ben, if you are doing it this way, I think it's really, really smart. As Mo said, dollar cost averaging is a great way for you to actually try, you know, eventually maybe you could get the lows. Sometimes you might buy mid or high, but over time you're going to end up with a very, very good cost as well doing it that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I don't know, Mo, is there anything that you wanted to talk about otherwise? I mean, he goes on here. Do you want me to read the rest of his question and we'll keep going? I'm currently deciding on my own investments and I'm wondering your thoughts on having the S&P 500, your $1 million portfolio, and then finish it off with a couple of EVs such as Tesla and CCIV. Do you think this is a well-rounded enough for a good portfolio? So I thought that was a good continuation of the question so that people can hear maybe what a well-rounded portfolio
that is. First of all, just getting the S&P 500 would be well-rounded in general. And so if you sprinkle in a few individual plays from my portfolio as well as Tesla and CCIV or some other EVs such as NIO, hint, hint, I love NIO, especially down below 34. Now it's at 33s. I find that a very strong portfolio. The S&P 500 gives you that 500 different companies that make up the United States economy. Basically, just you're betting on the U.S. And then adding in some EVs from around the world give you a little bit of that international exposure, such as Tesla gets 40% of their business from China. You know NIO's over there, CCIV, based down in Arizona. That's a really young company. We'll see it. But if you get in early and it blows up, you could make a lot of money. So I like your approach. I think it's a good approach.
Yep. And he also mentions your value portfolio too. So if anybody is considering the Patreon, if you're not a member yet and you come over, Mo does have 8 or 9 different exclusive portfolios just for Patreon members to take a look at. And 2 of those are the value portfolio and $1 million portfolio.
That's going very well. Yeah. Even through this correction, the value portfolio based on fundamentals, based on PE ratios, earnings, growth, all that, is doing very well. It's actually outperforming the growth portfolio. So
fantastic. Yeah. So I'm going to save all the fun stuff for at the end, and we're going to keep on with questions. All right. So furthering our inflation topic. So this question is from Zach. Hi, Zach. Zach says, is it too late to get in on some of these sectors you talk about that are leading, such as financials? I am taking advantage of the dips in tech and the EV sector to add on to my long-term growth positions with stocks and leaps. What are some other sectors and stocks you'd recommend going forward with this rotation from growth and tech into value and cyclicals, etc.? All this talk about inflation and such is definitely making it harder as a relative beginner to invest. And then he says, P.S., it's getting very warm down here in sunny Florida. It's about a great time to come to Disney and ride Splash Mountain / Princess and the Frog and get a Dole Whip float.
You're killing me. I've been talking about going down so often. I haven't had a vacation in 2 years. It's been two full years. I have not been on a vacation. And I need one. I'm not going to lie to you. Doing videos every day and being out there trying to help people. It's a busy day. Mm-hmm. You know that. I know you and I work. I'd say Mrs. Mo works harder than I do. And I appreciate that. You're a wonderful co-host / partner in crime, a.k.a. or what do the young people say? # awesome person. How about that?
# awesome. There you go. That sounds good to me.
So anyways, I could use the Florida trip, and I think Disney, you know, hint, hint, great stock to buy. I think they're flowing. I looked at their, you can go online, do some research, and their rooms, you can't even book a room. Most of them rooms are so taken up. So I know Disney is popping again. You can look in their internals and see that if you can't get a room, that means they're booked up. Their revenue should be spiking over the summer. And that's part of that whole inflation. Everybody's demanding it, mm-hmm. and you just can't get to it. So I think you're going to see a lot of good things coming out of Disney stock. But when you say, is it too late to get into financials? I do not believe it is. I did a video this morning on it, and I did talk about how some of them have 5% all the way up to 20% upside potential based on the pros out there. And the fact that that's a 12-month price target. And you know the Fed already came out and said we might have to do as much as we can a little bit earlier than they wanted to. That means that some of these banks will start actually earning a little bit more before people thought they were. So that pushes the price targets up a little bit that just has not been released yet. And so I think you're going to see these financials actually do a little bit better than expected over the next 12 months. And I think the analysts out there will eventually update their prices, and you'll say, hey, most said they were going to do it, and they did it. And as for the downturn, I do expect a very big support at the 12,400 level for the NASDAQ. So for those wondering how low the market could go, I think it will retest down there, possibly. I don't want it to, but you know, I think that's as low as we're going to see it. And then I think we'll see another bounce back up off of those levels, and hopefully we don't even get down there, but it's, you know, we're only I think 5 or 6% away from there anyways, and then we move to better days. I don't see a 40% crash like we did in 2008, and if we do, I'll be buying a ton of stocks.
Yeah, I wish that we could all come into your living rooms and just kind of be able to talk to each and every one of you, because you would see how calm and just kind of steady we both are throughout all of these ups and downs. And I know that that's really, really hard for people, like the whole psychological standpoint of it, of seeing it go red and just having that gut feeling of, oh, what do I do about this? You know, do I want to sell? Do I hold? Do I buy more? And think about it this way. And we did discuss this today in the Discord as well. Think about, do you remember where you were like 3 weeks ago on a Thursday? Okay, probably not. And the blips that are happening right now in the stock market, if you look at the regression lines over at the NASDAQ, and you see that it is eventually going to go up, you'll see how small the drop actually is in relation to back all the way back to like 1991. Okay, so just remember that this too shall pass, and just to try to get through each day and keep your convictions if you are knowing that your companies are solid and you know where you want to be in the future, stick with it, keep up with the dollar cost averaging, and hopefully we'll get through this inflationary period that's been really tough on everybody. Yeah.
The worst thing I would say is, you know, I expect this to be over, I said 3 to 4 months. This is month 4. And so by the first week of June would be the end of the fourth month. I thought we'd be over somewhere in May, And we're still in May, so we still got about 3 weeks left in May here to see where we go. And but, you know, on average, what did you say, 67% was it you told
me? Yes, 67%.
60-something percent of all corrections end in that 3 to 4 month average. There are some that can go as long as 10 months. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see. I don't think this is going to be one of them ones to stretch out 10 months. I do still think we're going to be in that normal range of the 3 to 4 months, and we'll see where we go. But right now, it usually gets to the worst before it gets better. And getting down to this point, a lot of people are walking away from the market. When you're seeing everybody quit and the fear goes through the roof, that is usually the best time to end up buying these stocks, and then you all of a sudden see this next bear run. I can tell you in 2008 and 9, when that market got down 40-something percent and everybody was quitting.
Bear run?
That bear run, is that what I said?
Yeah.
What did I say?
You said bear run.
Bear run.
Well, oh, okay. All right, sorry. I wasn't following.
Bull run?
Or did I say,
oh, I wanted a bull run, not a bear run.
There we go. Okay.
The bears can run.
That was a delayed reaction on my part, but I was like thinking about it. I thought, I really don't think.
The bears can run and jump off a cliff for all I care. I want the bulls to come out and play.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, so I called it a bear run. No, no, we don't want a bear run. Someday I'll tell them about how the bear came 5 feet away from me when I was fishing and didn't even see me. Jeez. They have terrible sight. Anyway, so, you know, back in 2008, we dropped 42% in the NASDAQ and everybody was quitting. I remember me and a couple, we started that new teacher fund.
Yep.
And we ended up, not only did we put a ton of money in, not a ton, but a ton to us at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we ended up using leveraging on top of that. I mean, we borrowed margin, I should say. And then we ended up buying some stocks with margin and it paid off huge because we said, even if it drops, it can't drop much more. And we said, even if it drops another 10%, we'd still buy throughout it. And in the long run, we'd be getting steals. The fundamentals were through the roof, but they kept dropping. And I don't see that happening this time.
Mm-hmm.
This time, we're just going to see a normal correction and move into some good money making.
Right. Absolutely. So those are three great questions for inflation. And now we're going to move on to talk about our would you rather from last time and how people answered. So remember when we talked about, would you take the $5 million right now and be able to invest it? Or would you take $100 million in 20 years from now? Remember that? And what did you say?
I do remember. And I said I thought I would take, you know, the $100 million because I was all about helping the future generations so they didn't have to work. But I'm a kind of giving guy. I don't mind if I had to work an extra 20 years. If I knew generations of my family would be well off, guaranteed, I would go that route.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So we had about 5 or 6 people who actually would take the $5 million now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we had one person who said that they would take the $100 million. But I wanted to just go
I get that.
Yeah, I know.
I get it.
It's tough.
You're just tired of it. And you know, $5 million can make you relax now. And then you can invest it and hopefully turn it into more.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Not today, though.
I do have someone for our comment of the day directly relates to this. Would you rather from our last episode? So Naxaril said, since I'm a little under 30 with no kids planned so far, I'd take the $5 million and invest half into Ethereum and growth stocks and the other half into some safer funds. Hopefully that way I'd be able to grow my wealth to an amount where my hypothetical children would be set while being able to comfortably live off the dividends and interest myself.
That's
which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like that literally sounds like something that Mo would say.
That's why I said, ooh, I saw Ethereum in your notes and I didn't get to read this yet. But I saw the Ethereum. I love that. And I think anybody watching this right now, Ethereum's going to go through some rocky roads. But in the long run, everything is pointing towards very high market caps as we move forward. And I do expect it to overtake Bitcoin as we move forward.
Mm-hmm. So I have a new would you rather.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yep.
So he doesn't know this question
I'm looking
either.
I'm looking with her.
Yes. Okay. So this one kind of, I mean, I guess it does have to know about your knowledge of stocks and things like that, but it could be go beyond that. So here it is. So would you rather go back to age 5 knowing everything that you know now? Okay. So you have to live through all those, you know, grade school and teenage years again, or would you want to know everything that you know today that your future self would learn? Like, so, say that right?
So let's just say I'm 5 years old.
Yeah.
So right now I go back to 5 today.
Today.
I don't go back in time.
Correct.
I'm 5 years old today.
Yeah, you're 5 years old
today.
Because
no one knows the future, but what you do know is everything you learn throughout your life.
Yes.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
Really?
It's not even close. I want to be 5 again. Especially one, because I get all those years of life. What is an extra year of life worth?
Very good point.
You know?
Yeah.
And I would expect you to stay married to me as well.
A five-year-old.
Well, you know what?
If I went back to five, I guess.
So you would have to change my diaper or whatever you do with five-year-olds.
No, what the heck? 5 years old. They're going to the
right,
body.
But here's what I would say. I know how to make money now. I didn't know. Even when I was 18, 19, and 20, I worked. That's how you made money. You worked. But you need to figure out how to make money with investments, how to make money on your side gigs, how to do all these things. I would be the youngest YouTuber at 5 years old on this financial niche out there saying, hi, everybody, welcome, and whatever.
I'd have to buy you his little shirt.
My little bowling shirts to match.
Yeah, make him like size 6.
Yes, I'd be the cutest 5-year-old.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I'm going to go back to 5. It gives me that time. You know, we're taking off about 20 years for my age right now to go back to 5, and that would be great. I don't know how many people can do the math. They're like, how old is he?
No, I'm wait, what did you just say?
I said I would take 20 years off of my age to get down to 5.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Maybe a few more years.
I missed that one.
Yeah, maybe a few
otherwise
more.
Otherwise, I would have laughed really out loud.
Okay. So that's it. That's what I would do. What would you do? What do you want? Would you want to...
I don't know.
Now remember, knowing everything you could know of your future self... You know, let's just say you live to be 90. So you can have 60 more years of...
Yeah, that is a tough one. I think maybe you're right. Maybe I would want... Oh, I don't know, though. I don't want to go through my teenage years again.
I do. I love them.
No, I don't.
It was crazy. Backflips.
But yeah, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't actually want to know some things I don't think about my future self. So I guess I'd take the less of two evils, so to speak, and I'd go back to 5.
Yes.
Because I'd have to be there with Mo. I'd have to be holding hands while we were carrying our little lunch boxes and going to school together.
Yeah, and I had my little Transformers box as I record.
I would make him play Barbies. He would be playing Barbies.
I'd make her go fishing. Okay, that's what we got today. So I really enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun. Yeah. So that's all we have for you today. Like we always say, make sure you come over and give us a sponsorship. We would greatly appreciate it. Check out the link down below to Webull. Get your 2 free stocks. Put in $100. Takes 5 minutes. You're going to get a shot at $1,850 in free stocks. Come over and join us at the Patreon.
Yeah, come and talk to me in Discord.
She's there every day for like 26, 27 hours a day. She's there. It's a long day for her, but we would greatly appreciate it. I'm Stock Mo.
And I'm Mrs. Mo. Thanks for listening and or watching, everybody.
Now hit him with the line.
Let's get out there and make some money.